This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast number 154 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held before the Town Council meeting on Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. The discussion only covered one agenda item, the food requirement for the current brewery, winery, distillery bylaw. The key question is to whether to modify the existing bylaw to remove the kitchen requirement. Do tap rooms, tasting rooms really need to have a kitchen? Comparison with other breweries where the food requirement is not as restrictive was discussed. After some discussion into what it would include or not, it was determined to need additional research from the administration staff to bring back to the EDC for a better discussion. The next meeting was also scheduled for December 12th at 5:45, conveniently also before the next town council meeting. The total meeting recording runs about 20 minutes. So without further ado, here's the audio recording.
Well, you're going out the door.
Everybody has curly hair.
Free at last.
Timing 5:45, I call the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting to order. Just quickly, this meeting is a meeting of the Franklin Town Council Subcommittee under the under open meeting law. The subcommittee is a separate public body from the town council. Therefore, unless the town council has separately noticed and posted its own meeting, councilors who are not members of the subcommittee will not be permitted to speak. Otherwise, active participate at this meeting. Although this meeting may be attended and observed, this prohibition is necessary to avoid a potential
open meeting law violation.
Yeah, we could like scan that down a little bit.
How about we just say don't talk?
Yeah. If you're on the town council, you're not supposed to be here. Don't be here. This meeting is also being may also be recorded or videoed. So, discussion. First item is the brewery, winery, distillery bylaw issues for food requirement. Who wants to take this one, Jamie?
He's the brewer, brew pub.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, basically, there's one question before the EDC tonight, which is, as everybody knows, a couple years ago, or everybody probably knows, we put in a brewery, distillery, manufacturing bylaw, which is essentially all of the zoning districts in town that are not residential. We've had some people come in, and it just kind of came up actually today, which was actually good timing. We had a proponent that was interested in possibly putting one in up on West Central Street. However, one of the hang-ups is that in order to have an alcohol license that goes to the ABCC at the state level, the town bylaws require you to have 40 seats in a kitchen and serve food. And so the question has come up, if we have breweries come before, you know, before the community, do we want to continue to mandate that they have a kitchen, which can run you a pretty good amount of money to have a commercial kitchen. That would be consistent with the rest of the community. Every other license holder of the same kind that has a license to serve on premises has a kitchen. But if you look at the market, the folks like up at Craft Roots up in Milford, you look at Treehouse out in Charlton, you look at Medusa Brewing Pub up in Hudson on Main Street, a lot of these facilities, Trillium, they don't actually have food. The most popular would be Jack's Abbey in Framingham, now has food and has a seating requirement because it was good business practice, but they weren't required when they first opened up to actually have 40 seats, what our bylaws, which is 40 seats and food. And so really the question before the EDC is to have this discussion here and whether or not you wanted the administration to forward change the bylaw proposal to the full council to relax that requirement just for what essentially is it the farmer series licenses at the state level. So that would be for any type of brewery or distillery.
Tasting rooms. So for instance,
so 25% of any square footage right now can have a tasting room by the town bylaw, which we, when we did the bylaw, was commensurate with most other communities' bylaws. It was equivalent to what most other communities had. You know, I will say that one of the challenges has been, I think, for some folks in town, is they're not finding a 10,000 square foot place, facility like Jack's Abbey. You know, they're looking at a 2,000, 3,000, which makes a tasting room really small, kind of like La Cantina Winery, right, down on Union Street. So That's kind of the framework for the discussion. And you know, I think we wanted to take it here before bringing it to the full council to see what folks thought.
Go ahead, Eamon.
If I might, how have things worked with La Cantina Monterey so far? How is that grouped currently with our existing liquor bylaws?
Good.
I think it's worked out fine. Well. I think actually, from my knowledge of generally of the industry, I think it's worked exactly how most other businesses do. They set up a place with a small, you know, with 15 stools, 20 stools, whatever it is, you know, tables and chairs, and it's either a good product or bad product. And if it's good, people continue to go. All the pictures and all the read I get from Bob Vizzella when I see him at the farmer's market, I mean, has been pretty positive. I think he's doing good business.
I guess my question is, they don't have a commercial kitchen.
They do not.
themselves. So how does that work currently under the bylaws from their liquor licensing perspective?
So they have a pouring license through the state.
Oh, that's just
pouring license. That's just for the pouring. Yeah.
So versus the beer, you'd be able to taste three or four different
full
kinds.
Right.
Full pints, so he's constrained by how much you can.
I see. So basically, a volumetric limit on how much you can pour for people.
Right. It's a different license, but correct. So it is a change of a long practice,
Mr. Jones.
But we've met with three or four brewery companies in the last 2 years, and haven't made any progress. And they all say the same thing.
Well, what exactly are they looking for? Is it similar to the La Cantina
what they're looking for?
Are they looking for restaurants like Jack Abbey's?
No. They're looking for space where they're going to actually brew the beer.
Understandable.
That's and then they're going to have a tasting room,
right,
where they want to serve. You know, you say you try three kinds of beers, whatever it is, and then they want to be able to call the pizza joint and say, "Hey, I'm having a beer. Deliver me a pizza, or I want Chinese food, whatever it is, and have it delivered." So they don't have, other than snacks, which they might have, that doesn't qualify under our bylaw currently for food. So, this is really a policy question of, do we leave it in place and tell them to go figure it out, or do you change the rules for these kind of operations?
Gentlemen, ladies?
When you're serving just the tastings with the alcohol, does it give it that warm appeal when you're in that you can sit down, have something to eat, taste the beers, or does it just become a watering hole?
No, because they all close early, first of all.
I'm going to address part of your question because I've done some research on this. Uh-huh. Do you guys have anything?
My second part of that question would also be, do you think that they want to eliminate a kitchen and food because that now triggers a larger parking schedule?
Possible.
And
I personally have an issue with getting away with food. I don't think there should be any alcohol served without having some sort of mandated food.
My question was, do they feel as though that the kitchen, though, is triggering 40 seats, which is triggering more parking?
No, you know what it's triggering?
It's all the above.
You got to hire a cook.
Right.
You got to hire a wait staff. You got to spend $100,000 on a kitchen or whatever it is, and then you might have more parking, and you're a startup company making, you know, beer.
Well, what I'm thinking, though, is if they can escape the square footage by not having the restaurant, they can have a brewery, and they have this little area for tastings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then they open up, and they have a large group of people showing up for tastings, and there's no parking.
That's got to go to the planning board.
Well, we would not be able to deny that, though. If someone came with a 2,000 square foot up on West Central Street, and they only require 5 parking spots.
Is it a special permit? Special permit.
But then they have a tasting area that, you know, 40 people can show up.
Right.
And then where do they all park? Because legally they have the parking for the 2,000 square feet with the 25% of the parking.
Tony, go ahead.
I think it's cost.
I don't think it's parking because I think uptown, if you have these places uptown, it doesn't trigger any parking at all.
No, but we're talking West Central, East Central, out of the center of town.
And most of it's all to do with, like Jeff said,
I think it's more about
the expense.
It's more about money, right, and for a startup.
Mm-hmm.
So say some couple of people, like I just brewed a beer today. Right, my first gluten-free beer. Well, it's going to take like 3 weeks.
But you have a kitchen in your house.
So say I wanted to start a brewery. How can, like, I can't afford, I want to start a brewery and have people come in and taste. I can't afford to put a kitchen in, too.
I understand that. But my point is, if you had just a brewery with a retail component, where like a liquor store, they just show up, they buy it, and they leave, you only need a half a dozen parking spots.
That's true.
Right.
But every Friday night at 5 o'clock, we have a tasting, and 40 people show up, and it's got congregating, it's a hangout, people are drinking. Now you're infringing on the neighbor's parking if it's within a you know group of stores.
Right, but I don't see it. I see it as a lot of times you'll go into a place like that and you'll try a flight of beers and say, okay, give me a growler of that or that's what I want, and you take it home.
But I just heard stools and stuff, so that means people are sitting around.
Yeah, right, because it takes.
I think
so. It turns into a social event.
But it's not an elongated social, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's just
it more like 15 like to 4
hours.
Like
30 minutes.
No, I respect that.
No, I mean it. When you're paying $7.50 for a pint of beer, of a really good craft beer, it's pretty hard to sit there for 6 hours.
But they're also open short hours in certain days of the week, so that means everybody's going to be there in those days.
But
it's not like it's 7 days a week and you can come and go.
They usually kick you out.
Even La Cantina has a limited amount of parking, and they do get a fair amount of people that go in there for their hours that they are open. But from my understanding is they haven't had an outpour of like crowds per se at their
I'm going to give you an example I could use because Roger Calories' new place next to Wendy's, they just opened up. He's leased out most of the property, all great tenants. He's got a small 1,500, 2,000 square foot section left.
Too small.
But let's say it's 4,000, whatever's left. He's maxed out with his current parking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now these people come in and they have those tastings and 40 people show up and now they're infringing on the other tenants.
Yeah, it's so called Starbucks.
Exactly.
So what typically happens?
We need enough parking for whether there's food or not. The parking is the only issue to me. It's not food or not.
Yeah, I mean, what typically happens that I've seen it, and whether I've been out to Oregon and to Oregon and to
Washington
and to Northern California, I've done many of these. And what typically happens is you go in, you do a flight, and then you go out and you have dinner. Right, with your friends, and it's kind of a place to start, which is where kind of I was going with this. I think we're kind of putting the horse before the cart before the horse on this one. I think we have to look at the whole bylaw, not just the food requirement. One of the conversations I had earlier when we started chatting with this is, you know, the state of Washington and the state of Oregon have been doing this for years. They are far ahead of us, so I don't really see the point of us looking at too much before we turn around and let's send our council out to go look at those states that have been doing it for years with towns. Come back with what you have and what you're allowing. At least then we have a baseline to go by. Why are we creating a wheel when there's already been a wheel created?
But do you have to go that far? Is there anything in Dedham, Norwood, anything?
But they've been doing it 20 years. We've only started doing these tasting rooms.
Yeah, but they have happy hours and everything too, and we don't. So I mean, that's a different part of the world. I mean,
they really don't have a lot.
We're in Massachusetts.
You're thinking Florida happy hours. That's not like this.
No, I understand, but I'm saying they have to go out there and judge what they're doing versus what we do here locally in Mass. It's two different worlds.
I think you're going to notice that they're, from what I see, each tasting winery has to have a shop. Has to have some sort of food, whether it be nuts or candies or pretzels or something kind of snack, right? Has to be open a certain number of hours. You can't just be open 6 to 8 so that you can score and go. I think looking at the whole package is a better opportunity than just looking straight at the food, because we put food in, and to take Glenn's point, everybody should have food. I agree there should be some sort of food there, but do we need to require them to eat steaks, or can they have a pretzel, right? Like, that's where we have to look at. So I'd be really interested in, and then I don't care if it's Dedham or, Seattle, Washington. No, I don't care. Like, let's find out what other people are doing.
We want a successful business here that's going to compete with the businesses locally, not,
$2,000 miles away, there's one every half mile.
But we want it to be successful.
But to his point, if we can actually make something that's even a
better
improvement upon Dedham and
so the point is you want some research.
Yes.
Right. And then put it on the future agenda.
I would like some research and see it on the January agenda.
One last comment?
Okay. Go ahead.
Does the alcohol have to be brewed on premise?
Yes.
Or can they have multiple places and import it to this place if he has a brewery license already?
Well, that becomes a good question, because can he make his own brew on premise and bring in somebody else's
No, what I mean is if he had two or three establishments.
You have to sell what you grew.
But if he has a license, is it a state license?
Across the whole United States.
So if he has three locations and brews in another location, can he bring that to Franklin?
Well, it doesn't allow it.
So he has to brew it in the facility that's being tasted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my last one.
And that's all he can serve.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
You can't serve vodka if you're making beer.
No, I know.
If you're serving other people, if you're serving other folks, is,
you need a full liquor license.
You need a full liquor license like any other restaurant down.
Right.
No, my question was if he had three locations brewing at one, could he bring his own brewed material to a store in Franklin without having the actual...
I think that's an AB... Well, we don't carry in line, but I don't even think the ABCC has an issue.
We'll double check the law.
He has the brewery right there. We can look at there.
No, but we have a bylaw. We'll just double check. The intent was you had to brew on site and serve.
Right.
Or sell. You could have a retail and not. But
well, that's the whole point. You're having a tasting room because you want somebody to taste it.
To buy it.
And then get on the plan. And every month we're going to send you.
Well, they're going to go walk out with a six-pack or a growler or whatever.
Right. Or you come back every month and you pick yours up, right?
Right, because isn't that what the one in Milford does? Right. They sell you the bottle or the growler bottle and you bring it in and get it filled up and it's just, it's kind of like a...
So I think research is the first way to start.
We'll do it.
Cool.
I'll go.
All the tastings.
Field trip.
I'll go with it. Does anybody have an alternative thought or plan before we move on to the next?
No.
It'll be February. When's Melanie getting back?
She comes in with 12 growlers.
Is that a tasty? This one's mine.
So we will have a December meeting.
Sure,
Jimmy.
12th, 19th.
12th?
5:45,
because that's early she can get here, right?
Yeah.
5:45?
Yeah.
December 12th
or 19th?
The 12th. At 5:45.
12:12.
12:12 at 5:45. And we want to look at the, anybody have an objection to look at the over 55 housing overlay?
No.
Nope.
We do that. Move that up. And then the Clark Cutler McDermott rezoning will be second if we have time. And then we'll go future meeting for the rest of the items. And then can you make sure everybody has this packet before?
Clark Cutler?
Yep.
Yeah, we're still going to tweak it though.
Cool, that's fine. So we can chat about that. Anything else needs to be brought before the...
No, there's nothing that's overshadowing.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Master plan update in the earlier year.
Good point. I should tell you what I want. January, I'd like to see a master plan review comparably from what we've started with in 2013 to where we are today.
Yep.
And I'd also like to make sure that, not necessarily the planning board, because they have this, but they know it inside and out, but all the councilors that are here on it have a zoning map, the table, and the use chart for themselves, so that they have that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Come on up, say your name and give us your...
Do I have to stand?
No, give us your name and your residential address.
Kim Halloran, 5 Nicholas Drive.
Yeah.
I was at a meeting last week and it was suggested that we come, or somebody come to the EDC to raise concerns about the condition of the road for Prospect Street.
Mm.
So I've spoken to a bunch of folks and decided that I'd come and just kind of figure out where to start, because we need some help as to where to begin. Some of the concerns were speeding, heavy truck traffic, traffic, not like a Dunkin' Donuts truck coming through, not one that was just delivering something, it was cutting through. Speeding, line of sight for some of the roads and driveways, it's very difficult to see. And because of the speed and the limited line of sight, it's a safety issue for people who are using the road and on the road and living there. There's a daycare school that also has very limited visibility to the road, and people are flying through at 40 miles an hour, which is what the speed limit puts on the GPS, but there's no posted speed limits on the street, which is a concern.
It's 30 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's a law. So everybody learns that.
Well, the GPS says 40.
No, I'm just saying that.
So you want me to?
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know where to go to.
So,
to
I mean,
begin.
Yeah,
this is us.
I was going
to
say.
So you're going to stop with Jamie.
You're halfway there. Nice to meet you.
Okay, good.
Maybe after the meeting adjourns, I can grab your phone number.
Sure.
And really what we should do is talk to the police about signage and just some of the other issues that you're talking about and what the data shows. And I can walk you through the truck issues and, you know, truck exclusion, you know, what options are available and what we can do to try to help that.
So I was just going to say, thanks for coming, but the intent of the EDC is really economic development. The planning board is really in charge of subdivision control, which this proposal comes 100% under. These are a couple members. So we don't really have any role. I mean, we certainly can deal with public safety at the administrative level. But the EDC doesn't really deal with, you know, housing, you know, economic development issues about businesses and growth, not necessarily a subdivision. Because we have no legal authority, whereas the planning board and has some members have to deal with all
that. I'll take the responsibility of having her this evening.
Yeah, okay.
Because during the planning board meeting, there was a lot of, there was an applicant there for a project that's being built, but 80% of the conversation for the night was all talked about existing problems and conditions.
Well, we can look into that.
So I said the best thing to do if you want is come to an EDC meeting, because all the players will be here to give you the right direction, where to go.
Well, I think Jamie can take the lead.
Right. So yeah, I just give it a starting point.
Some of this is a police and a DPW issue in terms of the signage and what the traffic flow is. So the police do all traffic and parking related stuff.
Okay.
It's really under their jurisdiction. Outside of the issues with the subdivision, that's different.
No, this is
but this is just part, you know, this is just all those other issues. Some issues, depending on the sight lines and where you're talking about, might be a building commissioner issue, but that's all under the administration. Okay. So we can help you on all that
and
stuff.
And water on roads where, you know, at the bottom of the street it says icy.
Right.
The water just, you know, dribbles.
Yeah, we'll change it to really icy.
Well, they've got it on Washington Street now saying it roads icy because the intersection
Down the hill, So, you can... We'll definitely get a meeting with the police chief and DPW and yourself and Jamie.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Seconded? Anybody?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
See you later.
See, they told you to come here because they knew we'd all be.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? In particular, if you have an interest in real estate, zoning, or construction, I would like to have someone to follow the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and or Conservation Committee meetings. I'll provide the guidance on note-taking and sharing. You'll need to bring an inquisitive and an open mind and willingness to learn and share. Overall, if you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, of course, visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.